Hello again.
Friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, and anyone from any other category, label, whatever, all children of God, welcome. It's Pastor Bob. And it's Friday, August 5th, actually. If you haven't been keeping track, wow. And we're at our 17th Jesus story out of 24. Starting that today, and the 17th story is called The Way to the Cross. And we'll begin it right now as we settle into the Word. And let this Word be the only thing we focus on for about the next 10 minutes. Immerse yourself in this Word. As they neared Jerusalem, the disciples began to feel that they were on the eve of great events. They were sorely troubled by Jesus' words of death and resurrection, but they still supposed he meant the resurrection of the last day, and that, therefore, the kingdom of God was immediately to appear. They still thought, too, that it would be much like an earthly kingdom, in which they would be offered positions of great power. Yet they were wrong in this. And Jesus told them so, with such bluntness that they became exceedingly disturbed by the prospect of entering Jerusalem. And they were right to be disturbed. The Jewish Passover was at hand, and many people had come up from the country to purify themselves before the festival. They looked for Jesus and asked about him as they stood in the temple. "What do you think?" they said to one another. "Do you think he will come to the festival? Or will he not this time?" For they knew that the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone should find out where Jesus was, he should announce it to them, so that Jesus might be seized. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany to visit Lazarus and his sisters and make his home with them until the day of the feast. On the day that he arrived, Simon, who had been a leper, made a supper for him in his own home. Lazarus sat near Jesus at the table. The practical Martha served, and Mary sought to find some way to show Jesus her love and trust. She therefore brought in an alabaster flask containing a pound of liquid spikenard, a fragrant ointment that was exceedingly precious and costly. This she took to Jesus. First, she anointed his head with the rare perfume. Then she knelt low in front of him, anointed his feet with it, as if caring for a travel-worn visitor, and wiped his feet with her hair. It was a gesture of great love and gratitude, and of much deeper meaning than most of those present could understand. Some of the people at the table murmured indignantly among themselves, saying, "To what purpose is this waste of precious ointment?" Judas Iscariot, the disciple who was in charge of their small treasury, spoke up sharply against Mary. "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" he demanded angrily. "Why should it have been wasted in this way?" Now he said this, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He had charge of the money bag, and he used every opportunity to take whatever was put into it. "Let her alone," Jesus answered him. "Why do you trouble her? When she poured this ointment on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. She has done a good deed. I say to you that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, this woman will be remembered, and what she has done will be spoken of in memorial to her." Judas smarted under this gentle reproof. He was already beginning to doubt that there would be any glory for him in the kingdom of which Jesus spoke. And he was interested above all in material things. So far he had gained nothing but some of the contents of the money bag. He fumed inwardly and said no more. Many of the people round about had heard that Jesus was at Simon's house. And they went there to see him, and not only to see him, but also to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. They saw Jesus, they saw what Mary had done, and they saw Lazarus. And they were filled with wonder. But the Pharisees, on hearing all of this, were driven to either further extremes of hate. Now they began to plot together so that they might also put Lazarus to death, because it was on his account that many of the Jews had come to believe in Jesus. And Judas Iscariot began to make certain plans of his own. Meanwhile, Jesus rested with his friends in Bethany on the Sabbath day. Then he left them to go into Jerusalem. At Bethphage near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on ahead. "Go into the village yonder," he said. "As you enter it, you will find an ass tied to a door, and next to it a colt that has never been ridden. Loose the colt and bring him to me. And if any man asks you, 'Why do you do this?' tell him that the Lord has need of the colt and will send it back soon. Then the man will let you take the colt." The two disciples went to the village and found the colt where Jesus had said it would be. As they were untying it, the owner came up and said, "Why are you loosing the colt?" "The Lord has need of him," the disciples answered. The owner nodded, as if he had been expecting this, and willingly let them go. The disciples then brought the colt to Jesus and made a simple saddle from their coats. And Jesus mounted the colt, sitting as comfortably as he could on the disciples' garments. And he rode toward Jerusalem. In doing so, he was fulfilling the words of a prophet of old. "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king comes to you, meek, and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass.'" And we'll stop right there as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, a colt. We will not be with you over the weekend, but we'll be back again Monday. Until then, have a sacred Friday evening. Don't forget, if you listen to this early, free Friday market today. Use donations and stop by. You might enjoy. Have a holy Saturday, and we'll have a blessed Sabbath, hopefully all together, either in person or online. Talk to you again Monday.